God will be a blessing and a help to you. Mark in chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 35. The Bible said, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. Amen. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, wringing his hands." He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. "And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the good songs that we've enjoyed in the evening service tonight. How they've been a blessing to my heart and life. The old hymns of the faith, they're still the ones that stir my soul. Now rejoice in what you did this morning in the service. What a great time we had in the Lord this morning. We rejoice in Brother Foley and how you saved him, brought him out, showed him light, give him light, delivered him, opened up his heart as you did Lydia's that he might be saved. We're grateful and thankful to you for it, for salvation is of the Lord. I pray now you'll bless us tonight, Lord, as we stand to preach. I ask for special liberty and grace from God. I ask you, Lord, for blessing upon thy people. May the power of Christ rest upon me tonight and help me, Lord, to be a blessing to the children of God. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what's done for sinners that saved. And, Lord, for the hearts and lives that you change to the honor and glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, I want to call our attention tonight to a statement that the disciples make unto the Lord out of this text there in verse number 38. And I'll tell the story in just a little while. There's a few things I want to say before we get to the story itself. But they said there in verse number 38, at the latter part of that, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? I'm sure there's many of you that believe that Jesus does care. But there are some that I think have doubts of that from time to time, whether Jesus really cares or not. But he does. Jesus cares for our soul, and I'm grateful that he does. When I think of that statement, "Carest thou not that we perish?" and "Does Jesus care?" I can't help but to think of the song with that title. Mrs. Hall sings that song from time to time. She sang it here a number of times in the auditorium of this church. Does Jesus care? And I thought I'd read just some of the words so you can get a hold of the thought that I'm going to be dwelling upon tonight. The songwriter said in the first verse of that, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained?" You reckon he does? Reckon Jesus cares when our heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? That is, when we're pained so bad and so deep that we have no joy and our song has departed, does Jesus still care for us? I want to say, yes, he cares. Jesus still cares when our hearts are filled with that pain. He says, "As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long." Oh, we could all stop and pause right there. It's been a long journey for many of us. Some of you, it's not been quite as long as some of the rest of us, but it's been a long journey. And I must say, I've grown weary in the way a number of times. I've never grown weary of the way, but I have grown weary in the way. And I've learned that when that when I grow weary and the way grows long, that Jesus cares. Yes, I know that Jesus cares. That second stanza said, does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Now, I say that he does. When the sun goes down in our heart and darkness begins to creep in and shades begin to cover up the sunlight of his love, there's no doubt about it that Jesus cares enough to draw nigh to our soul. In fact, the Bible said if we'll draw nigh to him, God will draw nigh to us. But you know, I'm glad many a times God encompassed us round about with songs of deliverance and with songs in the night. And Jesus cares when we're that way. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed? You reckon he cares when you really tried to do something in your life and failed? Now, I say to you tonight that God does care. Even when we fail, God cares. God really cares. He really does. To resist when we failed, to resist some temptation strong. For deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all night long. You reckon Jesus cares when we're so deeply pained that tears flow from our eyes upon our pillows all night long because we've faced some temptation in life that we just can't seem to get over? And by the way, you will face temptations in your life. And there will be some you'll think you'll never find victory over. But I want to give you assurance that Jesus does care during those times. And if we'll stay with him, there will be some place, sometime down the road that God will deliver us. You know why? Because Jesus cares. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, yes, Jesus cares. I know that Jesus cares. The last verse of that song says, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my heart and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he sees. Jesus sees and Jesus cares. The songs declare that over and over again. I think of Brother Jerome's favorite song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? They asked that question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He's the one that put them in the ship. And he's the one that brought about the waves and the wind and the waves. And yet they asked the question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, yes, he cares. Jesus really does care. And so I think of the songs. I think of the scriptures in the Word of God. Dear Brother Peter said in a very familiar scripture in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, that is upon Jesus. Why? For he careth for you. Now, you know, the Bible doesn't lie. The Bible is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is absolute truth. In fact, he is the only truth that we have. This Bible is the only truthful thing that we have upon this earth. And the Bible said that you can cast all your anxieties, all your cares upon him. Why? Because he does care for you. He cares for you enough that he wants to carry your load. Whether you believe that or not, friend, it's an absolute fact that Jesus wants to carry your load for you because he careth for you. God does care for you. And we think of the scriptures. I think of the scripture in Psalm 142 and verse number 4, where the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Then he said, refuge failed me. I found no place to find refuge in my life. You know, the Lord gave Israel 7 cities of refuge. But this psalmist said, I found no place of refuge. I found no place to hide. My sin was ever before me, and I found no hiding place. And then he goes on to say that refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. But may I say, when no man cared for his soul, there was one that cared. And that his name is Jesus. And I'm certainly glad that our Lord cared enough for our soul, ladies and gentlemen, that he left heaven's throne, he left heaven's glory, and came into this world that he might deliver you and I from the power of Satan and from sin itself and from the dominion of sin. He delivered us from the wrath that is to come. That's right. He delivered us from this world and translated us by the power of His Son into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, I know Jesus cares. And I know He does because the Scriptures tell me that He does. Now, I will say, if we are Bible believers, we have got to believe that Jesus does care for our soul. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes we don't feel like it, but I'm glad that our salvation is not based on our feelings. Our salvation is not based on what we can do or what we've done. It's based upon what Christ has already done for us. He has already done all that can possibly be done. There's nothing left to be done. When He bowed His head upon Calvary and said, "It is finished," that is exactly what He meant. It is finished. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing be taken away from it. It is finished. Christ does care for our soul. There's no doubt about that. The Scriptures declare it. Then I want to say, if you was to ask the saints of God, ask the saints of God from all the ages.
Yep.
If we could talk to Paul tonight and say, "Paul, you think Jesus cares?" I'm sure that he'd echo back from heaven, "Oh yes, He cares.
Yep.
I know He cares."
Amen.
We could talk to Jeremiah tonight that was let down in the miry pit of clay. And we could ask Jeremiah, "Does Jesus care?" I'm sure that Jeremiah would echo back the voice, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares." And we could ask Daniel that was cast into the den of lions. Daniel would say, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares." And I could go on and on and on tonight. Jesus does care for His people, ladies and gentlemen. When no man cared for my soul and refuge failed me, thanks be unto the Lord that Jesus cared for my soul. "Master, carest thou not that we perish? You're asleep on a pillow. The ship's full of water. Don't you care that we perish?" May I say, oh yes, He cares. I know that Jesus cares tonight. And Jesus cared for them. And Jesus cares for you and I as well. Now I want to give you a little narrative of the story very quickly. The Lord has given these disciples the command to get into that ship and pass over to the other side.
Amen.
And it even said that He sent away the multitudes. And there were many other little ships. The Bible doesn't say a thing about those other little ships. In fact, they were in the biggest ship. And the water was filling the biggest ship. That's the thing about the water filling the little ships. I think that's amazing to the story. I don't have time to go into that. But it's an amazing thing. It doesn't say a thing about the water filling the little ship. But the biggest ship that was in the sea, that's the one that was taking on the water.
Yeah.
By the way, it's the one that had Christ in it.
Yeah.
Now the other ships had Christ in them. Just this one ship had Christ in it. And the ship that had Christ in it is the one that took on the water. May I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, only those people that have Christ in them are the ones that are going to take on the water from the wind and the waves that beat against our Christian life. It's not those little ships without Christ. It's those that have Christ in their heart that's going to take on the water, ladies and gentlemen. You can say amen right there. And so the water begins to fill that ship from the great storm that arose of the wind and caused the waves to beat into the ship. And it is now full, the Bible says.
Amen.
And guess where Jesus was at? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow.
Amen.
Didn't seem like it bothered Him too much. He wasn't worried. May I say, He was not worried about Himself, but even greater blessing than that, He was not a bit worried about His disciples. Not one bit. He was asleep on a pillow. Somebody said, "How can that be?" He was in humanity, and I may say this again, but hey, although He was asleep in His humanity, He was wide awake in His deity, and He still had those eyes of God upon what was going on in that ship that those disciples were in. And while it was filling with water, and they were wondering if Jesus cared for them that they were perishing. Yes, He cared. He wasn't a bit worried. Now I want to say to you tonight, Jesus is not worried about you either.
Amen.
He's not worried about his power to keep you either. I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice over that tonight. We're not kept by our own power. We're kept by the power of God. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us something to rejoice about tonight. My being kept and my being for all eternity doesn't have a thing to do with what I've done or what I can do. It's what He's done and what He is doing in each of our lives. I'll guarantee you on that. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. And does that ship filled with water and Jesus was asleep? No doubt those disciples wondered within themselves. Or do you reckon He really cares? Here we are, the ship filling up with water. We're in the midst of a storm. And I wonder if He really cares. There He is asleep. It looks to me like if He cared, He'd be awake. You ever feel that way in your heart and life? Jesus must be asleep on me. Everything that's taking place in my life, He must be asleep on me. If He was awake, He'd know what I'm going through. And if He knew what I was going through, He'd do something about it. Have you ever considered, maybe God wants you to do what they did? They cried out to Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the waves and the wind and the waves. And there was a great calm in the sea. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah, when He rebukes that wind and the waves in your soul, there'll be a great calm there as well. Amen. There'll be peace in the valley. Hallelujah to God for you. And the Bible said He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, told the sea to peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus asked this question to His disciples. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why were you afraid? And I'm sure they're thinking in their heart, goodness sakes, we were about to go under. And you're asking us why we were fearful? We were about to go down in the sea in a storm. And you're asking us why we're fearful? Then He asked and He made this statement. And this is a hard one to get. And you better underline this one little old word. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith? He didn't say a little faith. He said no faith. Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly again. They were afraid of the storm, but they even feared this man that had the power over the waves and over the wind. Of that storm. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be a great day in each of our lives when we fear Him rather than fearing the elements or fearing what man can do. We're to fear the Lord, not man, ladies and gentlemen. Don't fear man that has the power only to destroy your body, but fear God that has the power to destroy your body, then cast your soul into hell. That's who man ought to fear. And they were exceedingly afraid of that man that had the power over the wind and the waves and the sea. That's the man they were afraid of. They had double fear. Better believe they did. Now I want to mention a couple of things tonight. Three little old simple thoughts. And it won't take long, I'll assure you. I don't think it will. But does Jesus care? May I say, yes, He cares. Jesus cares when we're fearful. I've read through the Bible a few times. I just read again about Jacob when he returned back to Esau. And he said himself, he said, I'm afraid of Esau. He told the Lord that. He said, I'm afraid of him. So he was fearful. And men have had fear in their hearts. Many, many of us have, all of our life. And fear is a real thing. I don't know how many of any of you besides Brother Cater and I in here tonight, maybe some of you has been in real live combat. I'm talking about where real live bullets are whizzing over your head. And it's not a play thing. They're trying to kill you. But it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. When death draws nigh, ladies and gentlemen, it can be a fearful thing if you're without God. Oh, yes, it can be. Yes, Master, carest thou not that we perish? But Jesus, hey, Jesus cares when we're fearful. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. They were fearful of sinking. Amen. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 37 that their ship was full. that ship had taken on all that it could take on without literally going under the wave. Nobody in here, I'll bet you, has ever felt that way in your life. You probably never felt like you had just about taken on all you could take on. That you were just about full and you couldn't take it much longer. That you felt like you were about to sink. May I say, when you are fearful of sinking, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus cares. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, He cares. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, He cares. I know Jesus cares. Yeah, I know He cares because He got up and rebuked the waves and rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. That's right. Probably nobody in here ever felt like that, have you? Felt like you was going down for the third time. And all was sticking up was a couple of fingers. You didn't even have your arm out of the water. Just a couple of fingers. We've all felt that way. If we'd be honest with ourselves, our problem tonight is we don't want to get honest with ourselves. I'm talking about in our spiritual life. There's been temptations and trials and troubles developed in our own life and problems that we've not been able to figure out nor work out that we've felt and that's made us feel like that our life is about to sink. That it just doesn't matter anymore. That life is not worth living anymore. Oh, but I want to say to you that life with Christ is worth living, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks be unto His wonderful name. When I got saved, as a matter of fact, I just began to live. Hallelujah to God. And life is now worth living. Why? Because I realize tonight with all of my heart that Jesus does care for my soul. Not only my soul, He cares for my life, ladies and gentlemen. Not just my soul, but my life. That I'm living now. Yes, sir. So they were going under. They were about to sink. And the cause of that was the wind and the waves. And you know, He's the master of the sea. That wind is the type of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Wind in the Bible is almost always the type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible said that the wind is what caused the waves to beat into the ship. And so the Holy Ghost is the one that was behind everything that was happening. Amen. That was the cause of it. The Spirit of God trying the faith. Amen. That's right, of those men that was on board that ship as it began to fill up with water. That's right. Will they believe God? If your little ship started taking on water tonight, would you believe God? If things begin to go south for you tonight, would you believe God? Amen. If your life felt like it was coming to an end tonight, would you believe God? If you felt like, hey, the things were about to drive you insane tonight, would you still believe in God? Come on in the house. I'm telling just like it is. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, amen, that God still cares for you tonight. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, He cares. He cares when we're sinking. Now, I read about a little old widow woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4. I'm sure you remember the story. How that there was this widow woman and her husband was of the sons of the prophets. The Bible said that her husband died. And the creditors came to take away her sons and sell her boys to pay off the bill. And she cried to the man of God. Yep. And Elisha said, what do you have in the house? She said, I have nothing save a pot of oil. He said, you go tell those boys to go to all the neighbors and gather up all the vessels. Amen. And take and shut the door upon you and take that pot of oil. Pour that pot of oil into the vessels. And she did that. And she cried for another vessel and the boy said, that's all of them. And she went to the man of God. With a statement, hey, said we filled up all the vessels. They're all full. And we've got oil left over. Here's what he said. You go take that oil and pay your debt. Hey, here is a woman that was sinking because of her indebtedness. She was in debt and could not get out of debt. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God still cares for her.
Now, I'm telling you, there may be somebody here tonight that you're in debt, you're in hock. And I'm telling you, it's an easy thing to do. In the day that we're living in, ladies and gentlemen, it is easy to get in over your head. And there's people out there that would love to take advantage of you and get you in that condition. They want to get you in over your head. You better be careful and guard your finances in this generation. But I'm telling you, just because you make a mistake with your finances does not mean that God hates you.
Amen.
Apparently, her husband had made a mistake. All she had was a pot of oil and was in debt and had no way to pay that bill that she owed. They had come to take away her sons and sell them and pay the bill. But when old Elisha got done with her, she had enough oil. He said, you go sell that oil and pay the debt. And you and your boys live on what's left over. Hallelujah to God. I don't know if that does anything for you, but that helped old Brother Hall out. God will not only give enough, God will give beyond enough. God gave her enough to pay her bills, and God gave beyond enough. Gave her enough to live on as well. And I'm telling you, God cares when we're in debt and can't get out. God cares. Well, I could tell you some stories, and my family could testify to it that's here tonight. And when we left Indiana, buddy, I left in a mess. Had a mobile home sitting there. I had a truck, a furniture truck sitting there. Had a new pickup truck sitting there and a car. And took the car and left everything else behind. Within a matter of a month, the mobile home, the truck, the car, is all sold. I mean, in just that much time, God cared enough to pay me out of debt. Oh, thank God. I'm telling you, I've never gotten over that. Hey, that's right. God's good to us. And I'm telling you, just because a man overloads himself and gets in debt does not mean that God doesn't care for you anymore. God still cares for you even when you're in debt, thank God. And I'm not similar to go out of here and get in debt just to watch God get us out. Oh, no, He ain't going to do that. You better guard your finances and be, you better be, what's that word I'm looking for? Circumspect? That's right. You better be careful.
Amen.
And spend within your means. That's where kids, young families get in a problem when they start spending beyond their means. That is, I'm talking about spending within what you have to spend rather than spending beyond what you have. If you're spending all, come on now, listen to me. If you're spending every dime that you make and there comes a hard time in your life, you're sunk. There's nothing wrong with planning for a rainy day. Come on in the house. That widow hadn't done that. That widow's husband hadn't done that. But I got news for you. Although they hadn't done that and they were in debt, God still cared for that widow and sent a man of God down there with a cure to deliver her. Oh, does Jesus care? Yes, I know that Jesus cares. Even when we're in debt, Jesus cares. May I say there's another widow woman in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Elijah has been at Zarah, has been down by the brook, and the ravens have fed him there, and he drank water from the brook. And God, the brook dried up, and the ravens quit flying, and God said, I want you to go to Zarephath.
Amen.
And in chapter 17 and verse 9, God, here's what God says. God said, I've commanded. Now get that. I've commanded a widow woman there. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Amen.
So you go on down there. Do you know where Elijah found her when he got to Zarephath? Now the Bible didn't say, I've commanded you to command her. The Bible said, God said, I have commanded her. Past tense. I've already told her to sustain you. But hey, when old Elijah got down there, he found that woman out in the gate gathering two sticks. And she was going to gather two sticks, go build a little fire. She had a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal. She was going to make two cakes, one for her and one for that boy. And she was going to eat them and going to die. And that's all that she had. Now, here's my question. Wonder why she didn't believe what God told her. If God commanded her to sustain Elijah, why could not she believe in what God had told her? I want y'all listen carefully now. When we're sinking in debt, Jesus cares for us. But when we're sinking in debt, well, apparently she must have doubted what God had to come on in. I know what some preachers say that says, hey, if you doubt, you're just lost and on your way to hell. You're looking at one preacher that don't believe that for one earthly minute. There's a whole lot of babies in Christ that are not grounded and rooted in the Word of God. Amen. They're not full grown. Their faith is not where it ought to be in God yet.
Amen.
The disciples themselves asked Jesus, increase our faith. Here they are in a ship with Jesus, and it's beginning to be filled up with water. They're in His very presence, and yet they ask Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Apparently they doubted. They doubted what the Lord told them. He said, hey, let's get in the ship and pass over to the other side.
Amen.
He saith unto them, get in the ship and let's pass over to the other side. Have we got any folks in here tonight that's in debt and you feel like you're sinking? Got any folks in here tonight that's full of doubts and fears, dismays, distress? You feel like you're sinking? Doubts have overwhelmed your mind. Because your mind has been overwhelmed, your heart has been deeply grieved with pain, and there's no mirth and there's no song left anymore in your heart because of the doubts that have cropped up in your mind. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to cause you to doubt. I do want to make you search your heart. God said we're to search our hearts. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to cause anybody to doubt. If you're saved by the grace of God, I want to exhort you. Oh, yes, and I want to edify you the best I can. I want to build you up on your most holy faith the best way I know how. I don't want to cause anybody to doubt. But I'm certainly not going to tell you you are saved. I have no earthly idea. That's between you and God. But I will say this, that there are people that doubt and they're saved by the grace of God. What did John the Baptist do? The Bible said there's not a greater born among women than John the Baptist. Ain't that what it says in the Word of God? Another born a woman greater than John the Baptist. And yet when John was, hey, John baptized Jesus. John saw the dove land on Jesus. John heard the voice come from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He heard it all. And God's the one that told him to go and baptize. And the one that he saw the dove landing on, he said, that's him. But when John got in prison and things got going tough, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, John the Baptist sent us here and said to ask you, are you the one or should we look for another? That sounds to me like he had a little doubting going on in his mind. Now I'm telling you, that widow at Zarephath doubted. But Elijah said, what are you doing, lady? And she said, I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to make two cakes, one for me and one for my boy, and I'm going to die. Yeah. Oh, and after God had told her that she had the power and the means to sustain a man of God and her whole family. Now, I want to say this right here. I don't believe that meal, that barrel of meal, I don't believe that it, when Elijah got done, it was full. And I don't believe that the crew's oil was full. I believe it kept the same amount in it every day. I don't believe God ever filled it up. And the problem is when God fills us up, ladies and gentlemen, come on now. When God fills us up is when we get cocky in our faith. God will keep us in a strong faith. Amen. Not by filling up that cruise of oil and not by filling up that meal barrel, but by keeping enough in it, supplying our need day by day as the day rolls along. Better believe He will. Hallelujah to God. Does Jesus care?
Amen.
When you're in debt, don't know how to get out, sure He cares. But I'm going to tell you, hey, did He make an escape for that widow woman? Yes! Did He make an escape for the widow woman at Zarephath? Yes! Will God make an escape for you? Yes! God will make an escape. Does Jesus care? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, Jesus cares. I know that He cares. He cares when we're in debt. He cares when we're in doubt. Then I want to say Elijah.
Old Elijah, bless his heart. 1 Kings 18, he done prayed down the power of God, prayed down the fire of God. He had slain all the prophets of Baal. God had used him in a great way. And yet one woman gets after him, and he hightails it down and sets down under a juniper tree and begins to pout. Till the angel of the Lord comes along, wakes him up and gives him bread and water. And he does that twice and gives him bread and water. God asked him, said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he said, hey, said, they've slain all the prophets of God, and there's none left but me. There's none left but me in the whole land. Sounds to me like old Elijah got pretty well discouraged. Boy, it's easy to get, is it not easy to get discouraged? But I'm telling you, when you're sinking in discouragement, and there's a lot of you out there doing that tonight, you're wondering, hey, you're working your finger to the bone, and you're getting nowhere. You're getting nowhere. Amen and amen. You're reading your Bibles and coming to church, and you still got doubts in your mind. And you're laboring for Christ, and you're still discouraged in what you're doing. Come on in the house now. And I'm telling you that when there's deaths, and when there's doubts, and when there's discouragement, Jesus still cares for your soul. Better believe He does. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, I know He cares. You better believe that He does. Bless His wonderful name. Then I want to say, secondly, the Bible said there in that same verse, Jesus said, why, how is it that you have no faith? He not only cares when we're fearful, but He cares when we're faithless. Faithless. He didn't say you got a little faith. They had no faith. What a God. May I say, when you were lost and on your way to hell and had no faith, when you were faithless and going to hell, did Jesus care? You better believe He cared. That's right. He cares concerning your salvation. You know He does. And if He's concerned about our salvation when we have no faith at all, then He's certainly concerned about our life as we live it by faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Help me out a little bit. What a great God we have. Hallelujah. It is a wonderful name. I could just about run my head through a wall. That's exactly right. God's concern. God's concern about your salvation. When we're faithless concerning our salvation, Jesus cares. He did care. Came into this life and gave His life that we might have life. What about that? He died that we might live. He arose that we might be justified. He's coming again that we might be glorified. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. For at the last trump, this body is going to get up out of the grave. Amen. And redemption of the body is going to draw nigh. And this old body is going to be made into the likeness and the image of Christ. You can say amen to that. And this old vile body that we're living in is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, He loved us enough. He loved us enough that He justified us. And He loved us enough that He sanctified us. And He loved us enough, ladies and gentlemen, He's going to glorify us some wonderful day. Oh, bless His name. Yes, sir, Jesus cares concerning our salvation. When we're faithless concerning salvation, Jesus cares. They ask Him, carest thou not that we perish? And that word perish is a strong word. You better take note of it. Carest thou not that we perish? That's a strong word. That's right. Then I want to say Jesus cares when we're faithless concerning our security. And I lean more to believing that's what's going on right here. They're not they. They're faithless concerning their security in Christ. Here's what they're wondering. He's called us, brought us out here in the midst of the sea. I wonder how safe I really am in a ship with this man that claims to be Christ. And he's in there unconcerned with his head on a pillow, fast asleep while we're rowing and toiling and getting nowhere. And he's on that pillow. I wonder if he cares about our safety and about our security tonight. Oh, I want to say he cares about your security. God have mercy. He's placed the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of your heart. He sealed you with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. You have the earnest of the inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Does he care? Sure he cares. About your security. God wants you to, God wants you to know that you are secure in him, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't no, you've really been saved. Ain't no boogeyman going to get you. You're not going to die and go to hell. I told you I had a sugar stick. You ain't going to die. You ain't going to die and go to hell if you've really been to Calvary. Oh, Lord, no. Hallelujah. You talk about being secure. Son, I'm so secure I can swing out over hell on a corn silk and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Bless his wonderful name. Thanks be unto God. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how in between we are. If we're saved, we're saved.
Amen.
I said, what about somebody gets saved young? I wish everybody gets saved young. Boy, I'll tell you, you'd miss a whole lot of heartaches of life, you young people. You get saved young. Begin to live for Jesus while you're young. And escape a whole lot of heartaches. I'm telling you, you're looking at, now I'm not proud of it, but your pastor's been down that road.
Amen.
I've lived the life of that prodigal. And I know what it's like to have heartaches and sorrows in my life because of sin. Oh, if I could just go back. I'd give everything that I have a dozen million times over, Brother Troy. If I could just go back and start over and get in while I was young, hallelujah to God, and live for God while I'm young, while I have my youth, and while I have my vitality. That's what you young people need to do. Get in! Don't just get in. Get in all the way. Get in. Praise God, as deep as you can get in. Hallelujah to God. Get in the ship with him. Somebody says, it'll fill up with water. Yeah, but praise God, it floated while it was full of. I never thought of that. That ship floated while it was full of water. Woo! Glory to God. I hadn't even thought of that. There, that ship is plumb full of water. And Brother Johnson is still afloat. Why can you get a hold of that? Amen. Now, Jenny, that tells me if Jesus is in your ship, I don't care how full it gets, it'll float. It'll flow. Boy, I never even thought of that. That came to my mind. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's security. We're kept by the power of God. Are we not? Sure we are. 1 Peter 1:5 tells us that. We're kept by the power of God. And we're secure in the everlasting arms of Christ. I'm glad that I found a shelter beneath the covert of his wings. That's talking about the mercy seat. You know what's there? One thing in there is the blood of Christ. Thank God, I'm telling you, there's shelter. There's security in that blood. But I'm going to tell you something else. That mercy seat is there. There's security in the mercy of God. Oh, his loving kindness and his mercy, ladies and gentlemen. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he's a care. He extends mercy unto generation after generation after generation. God gives his mercy and bestows it upon people. He's a merciful God. Yes, he is. I'll tell you something else in there. That pot of manna's in there. That golden pot. And that Aaron's rod that budded's in there. Talking about life. I'll tell you what's in that. I'll tell you what. Yeah. Woo! Amen. I'll tell you what's in that mercy seat. Life! Yeah. There's life for you and I in that mercy seat. You better believe. I'm sheltered neath the covert of his wings. Are spread out over that mercy seat. That rod of Aaron's that budded. Representing resurrection power, praise God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've got resurrection power dwelling in my soul tonight. And as sure as Christ got up out of the grave, I'm going to get up out of the grave also with him someday. I'll never forget old Dr. John Waters in Bible college. He got to talking about that resurrection power one night, and this bunch of first year freshmen like to had a running fit up and down them hallways. Son, I mean, we like to went nuts. I never heard anything like it. Talking about that rod of Aaron's that buddy represents resurrection power. Amen. Somebody said, why do you mean resurrection power? It wasn't a live limb, folks. It was a dead stick. But when they went out and gathered the sticks from all the tribes the next morning, Aaron's is the only one that had buds on it. Not only buds, it had almonds on it. Amen to God. It had fruit on it as well as the buds and the blossoms. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, a dead stick had life in it. And I'm telling you, God took you and I that was a dead stick and put life in it. Glory to God. You think He cares? How do you think He cares about our security? I know He cares. The mercy seat is there to prove that Jesus cares. The tables of stone is in there too. Amen. That's right. Thank God for the law.
Amen.
We live in a lawless generation.
Amen.
Know nothing about the law. Somebody said, don't put me under the law. Why not? Paul said it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, I'd have not known that I was a sinner. Except the law said thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
All right, listen to what I'm saying. The law, thank God the law showed me I was lost and on my way to hell. And that's one of our problems today. It's not being preached enough. The law is not for, hey, law condemns a man and a woman.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you're going to preach the law, you ought to come right along behind it and preach a little grace, amen, that'll bring you out of that condemnation of that law. The law condemns, but thank God grace will set a man free, amen. Don't ever condemn a man without pointing him to Calvary. Praise God, point him to Calvary. I'm glad there's security in the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. Thank God for Calvary. There's no place in the world like Calvary. Somebody asked me one time, said, would you like to take a trip to Jerusalem? I said, I am. They said, oh, you got your plane tickets already purchased? I said, yeah. Already got them bought.
Yes,
bought and paid for. They said, when are you going? I said, I don't know yet.
Amen.
They said, you mean you got the tickets, the plane, the airfare, and you don't know when you're going? I said, yeah. Well, they said, how are you going? I said, praise God, I'm going with flight without an airplane one of these days, man. I would like to go one time. I'm telling you the God's truth. I'd love to see Jerusalem. I'd love to stand on that Mount of Olives. I'd love to stand on that place called the Skull, Golgotha, where they crucified our Lord. Somebody said, that tomb is empty. I know it's empty, but He once laid in there. I'd like to look into it one time. I'd like to look into it and think in my heart, my mind, this is where Mary and Mary Magdalene stood! And looked into that empty tomb that morning and saw those two men in white apparel, one on each end of that tomb. Oh, glory to God. Somebody said, preacher, that happened a long time ago. I know it does. Did, but it sure stirs my blood. I want to say Calvary happened a long time ago too, friend. Christ died over 2,000 years ago, but it still stirs my soul when I hear about Christ and Calvary and what He accomplished for sinners like you and I. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, I know that He cares. Sure He does. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, not only does we're faithless concerning salvation and concerning security, but when we're faithless concerning the Savior, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, how can that possibly be? Well, he was asleep on the pillow in the back of the ship. And the very words, the statement, Master, carest thou not that we perish, tells me that they were faithless concerning the Savior. Because, hey, the last verse that I read to you, here's what they said. They were fearful and said, what manner of man? What manner of man? You mean to tell me at this juncture in their life, these men are saved?
Right. Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls. These men are saved and didn't realize it was God. Somebody said, now that's impossible. I'm going to tell you what it said in John chapter number 14. It said, Philip, you've been with me all this time, and yet you have not known the Father.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
You better believe it is. They were faithless, friend, concerning the Savior. There He lays on that pillow. They're thinking, man, if he's done all these miracles, we've seen him raise up Peter's mother. We've seen him perform great miracles. And there he lays asleep. I wonder if he really cares for us. Does he really care? Sure he cares. You can put your bottom dollar on it. Jesus cares for every person in this room tonight. Not in this room only. But all those multitudes out there, He cares for them.
Amen.
If a man that betrayed Him walked up and kissed Him and he said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He called him friend also.
Amen.
Peter denied Him. Jesus looked at him with those loving eyes. When I was growing up, they told me I had cow eyes. I had a person, I'm not going to tell you who it was, told me one time, said, don't look at me with them big round cow eyes of yours. When Jesus looked at him with those eyes, Peter had denied Him. The Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. You know what Jesus, you know what those eyes said to Peter? I care, Peter. I still care. I know what you said. I know what you've done, but I still care. Better believe He cares. Yes, the Savior cares. I'm going to say number three, and I've just got 2 points here, and I'm done. Jesus cares when we're forgetful. You ever been forgetful? That used to be Benny's favorite words. I'd say, Benny, you do such and such. Daddy, I forgot. That was his famous words, I forgot. Still is. I forgot. I see here where they were just a little forgetful. Jesus told them in the first verse in our text. Jesus says, the next day, and by the way, I want you to listen carefully. The next day, you know what had happened the day prior to that? Jesus had been teaching all the multitudes by parables. But the Bible turns right around and says that He called them aside and expounded the Word of God unto them.
Amen.
He didn't speak to them in parables. He expounded everything that He had spoken to the multitude in parables. He expounded it unto them to give them understanding of what He had just said. And the next day, they got in the ship. And here's what the Bible says. He saith, let us pass over unto the other side. You reckon He meant that? Wonder, hey, you reckon that our little minds are leaky vessels? And sometimes we just forget what this old book says. Sometimes I know a scripture as well as I know that ring on my finger that's been there almost 42 years. And yet, sometimes I can say, where is that at? And, you know, and I've got to get a concordance and look it up. And I know it as well as I know my own name, but I forget where it's at. I'm going to tell you, I walked in the bedroom the other day and forgot what I walked in there for. That's right. Miss Holmes be talking to me, and in a few minutes, she'll say, what was I talking about? And I said, I don't know, I forgot. She does me the same way. But hey, apparently they had forgot. They had forgotten. They had forgotten His Word. They forgot what He said. Passed over to the other side. That's exactly what He meant. When the big ship got full and still was floating and He was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, they forgot that He said, hey, we're going to the other side. Pass over. I want to say to you, I could just about run a half mile right now. I don't know what trouble you're going through. I don't know how full your little boat is tonight with cares and troubles and trials. I don't know how full your ship is. But I can tell you one thing by the grace of God. If you're saved and Jesus is in your ship, you're going to the other side, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how much water gets in your ship. You're going to the other side. Amen. You're going. You're going, you're going, you're going, you're going. Hallelujah. Us that are saved are going. Feel like Dr. Sadler. I feel like I could just walk back and clap a couple of times and say, praise God. I feel the presence of God down in my soul. I'm going to the other side, thank God. Brother Foley, I'm glad you got in this morning. Them old times, like over the other night, when Brother Steve was going around everybody and saying, are you know you're saved? And you saying, I hope we don't come over here. You know what? From now on, somebody comes walking around saying, you know you're saved. You can say, boy, I sure hope to God they ask me. When they do, just jump up and say, oh, I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know Jesus cares. Well, how do you know? Right up there, I got in. Hallelujah. I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm in. Hallelujah. What about all the troubles you're going through? Let the ship get full of water. Let Jesus be asleep on a pillow. He's still in the ship with us. Hallelujah. And we're going to the other side, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? They made it. Why would God let them make it? Then tell you and I. Deny us the privilege of making it. I'm saying one more thing and I'm done. They forgot that He controls the wind and the waves. You believe that? You believe the temptations and trials in your life, Jesus controls. Man, I don't want y'all to get mad at me tonight, but I'm telling you, He is a sovereign God. And whatever comes into the life of a child of God, it is there only by His permission. And it's there to teach us a lesson. It taught them a valuable lesson. I'll guarantee when them old boys got out on the other side, they said, praise God, boy. I'm telling you, here we are, expert fishermen. I'm telling you, we've been out in storms before, but I thought we were going down. I'm telling you, I bet one of them said, you know, I thought we was going down a lot of times, but I ain't never been in that ship when it was full of water and was still on the top. Let me ask something tonight. Will your boat float? Will your little boat float? Brother Herford said the last Sunday I was here, we was in there talking. He said he went and looked at this boat the guy had for sale. Said the guy wanted, I think, maybe either $150 or $125 for it or something. Said they pulled it out and said it's an aluminum boat. He said it was plumb full of holes. Said, I told the guy, I said, why? If it's 150, he said, I'll give you 125. If it's 125, he said, I'll give you 100, whichever one it was. The guy scratched his head and said, well, I hate to sell it that cheap, but I guess I'll take it. I said, and when he got done telling the story, I said, Brother Herbert, I got to ask you a question. Why in heaven's name did you buy a boat that's full of holes? He said, so I can work on it and repair it. I said, boy, that sounds fun. Buy something full of holes so he can spend time working on it and repair it. But you know what? That boat didn't have holes in it. It was coming in over the top. The waves were coming in over the top. Didn't have any holes in it. Now I'm telling you, hey, are you listening to what I'm saying? Your salvation doesn't have any holes in it. Oh, no, it doesn't have a hole in it. But sometimes those temptations, those trials, they'll roll in over the top. Come in on top of us. But that boat just keeps on floating.
Amen.
Master, you're asleep. You care not that we perish. And he rose up and rebuked the wind and the waves. There was a great calm. And he said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Did you forget what I said when we left, land on the other side, that we were going to pass over? Now, I want to close with this. If Jesus has told you something, you can take her to the bank.
Amen.
That's the way it's going to be. Brother Fuller, that scripture you read this morning, don't ever let it go. Never. Never. But if He gives you that verse in that book, hold on tightly to it. Meditate on it. Read it from time to time. I said over the other night, just back and went all the way back through my Bible every time God had directly spoken to me out of that book. Brought it right up to the current time. Every verse. Boy, and I'm amazed at as many of them as there was. I'm telling you, we got a living book and a living Savior that cares for our soul. And we're not going under, folks. The church is not going down. God's people are not going down.
Amen.
We're going up. The devil would like to make you think. He'd like to make you doubt. He wants to discourage you, make you doubt, get you in a position maybe in debt where you can't do what you ought to do for God. He wants to do all that stuff. But we're still not going down.
Amen.
We're going up. Let's stand together.